Did you know that there's a difference between happiness and joy? Happiness is a feeling. It's something that is reactional. It's dictated to us by the situation that is going on around us. Where joy, it's an action. It is being on the offense. It is making a decision and going forward and living in it. So will you read with me in Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Fighting for joy. It's something that we've had to live out because we can't be swayed and let life dictate to us how we're going to feel. Because let's be honest, life can be tough. Life can be hard. And if we are only in the reactional state, if we are only on the defense, on the back foot, and letting our emotions dictate where it's taking us, we can sometimes get into dark places. And you see, God has a better life for us than that. So if you will put up the first picture I have. Some of you may know I play American football or gridiron. So that's me, number 77 in the red at the front. I'm a center, which means I am the one who snaps the ball back to the quarterback. The quarterback throws it or passes it, and we make a play. We're the offensive team, and there's usually a defense as well. There has to be a defense as well. So our opposition plays the opposite. So we're the offense. We're making the play. The defense's job on the opposite team, the blue team's job is to stop us from making the play. They are trying to make us not get many yards to the goal line, to the touchdown zone, if you like. And see, the thing is that we too have an opposition here against us, and sometimes it's not seen and it's not obvious in front of us. And he's the enemy, and he wants to stop us from fighting for our joy, which is that end zone. John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You see, on the offense, we have to work as a team and we have to move forward and get the yards. There is already a play that is being decided on the sideline that gets taken out to the quarterback. The quarterback, I huddle everyone up. We explain what the play is. We know the snap count and we are ready to go before we even line up. We know what is coming. We know what is happening. The defense's job is to react. Their job is to react to the ball. It is their job to react to the move of the players. But they're at a disadvantage. They don't know what we know. They don't know what play we're playing. They don't know what snap count. So they're on the defense. Have any of you guys heard that saying, the best defense is a good offense? We don't want to be on the back foot. We don't want to stand back and wait to react to what's happening. We want to be on the offense. And we want to seek forward to the joy that God has for us. There's a couple of ways that we can be on the offense and that we can not wait to react to what's going to dictate to how we feel. And I think the first one is who is the Lord of your life? You see, if God is not the Lord of our life, something else will be. We were designed to worship and put someone up there. Now, we can do things to make us happy. We can hang out, go shopping. We can do these things that can give us a temporary relief and give us a sense of happiness. That's the reactive. But joy is different, and joy can only be given to us knowing that our salvation is in Jesus Christ. You see, what would happen if instead of letting things or our situations dictate how we feel, and we relied on the fact that God uses everything in our life for his purpose? What happens if we know that we can have joy because we've got the kingdom coming at the end? We already have the good news. What would happen if we actually believed that when we were stepping out in what happens in our life instead of letting the hard times dictate how we feel? See, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You see, when we realize that Jesus is the Lord of our life, we can be on the offense and not wait to be on the defense. The second thing that we can do to help have this offensive behavior towards joy is having an attitude of gratitude. You see, in that Philippians verse, it says, with thanksgivings, present your requests to God. When we have an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude in our lives, we stop looking inwards to what is maybe not right or what's not happening in our life, or this is difficult and I'm struggling with this. But when we have an attitude of gratitude, we actually point our eyes upwards to God and we give Him thanks for everything we do have. It changes our footing. It changes that stance of where we are. You see, but it's hard to do if you're already in the middle of a hard situation. It's like, yes, Jesus, you are awesome. When things are falling down around us. So it's actually something we need to make a habit in our life. It is something that we need to do daily, even if it is just the small things, like I have a healthy family right now, or I have a job, or hey, I'm being fed, that's okay. Like it can be the smallest things, and for some of us, they're not small things, they're actually really big things. But when we have that attitude of gratitude, our perspective changes between us and God. If you put up the next picture, this is me, number 77, making a lead block there. So I'm blocking the defense to make room behind me so that the quarterback and the running back can make a play. So I'm kind of like taking the hit so that there is space behind me created. You see, when we have an attitude of gratitude, we are in leading that block. Things might be hard, but when our focus is on God, we are creating space for Him to do something in our lives. We're giving Him that room. You see, we don't want to wait for the... When we're training, you don't want to be the person that kind of is only going half pace because you will get knocked over. You're the one that has to set the momentum and go forward. We have to set our own momentum in our lives to fight for joy. The third thing to realize for fighting for joy is that it's a season. If you're in hard or dark places, you need to remember just that. It's a season. It won't last forever. And maybe God has you in this season to learn something. And as we said before, we know that He uses everything for His good. But if we have that in our mindset beforehand, maybe it won't seem quite so hard. You see, not only do the hard times only last for a season, but sometimes only the good times do as well. So as we know, life comes in ebbs and flows. And when the good times are here, you need to cling on to everything that you can from that. Remember, write down whatever you need to do to remember that God's promises have come true in your life or the blessings that He have poured out upon you, because that's what's going to carry you through to the next season. If you put up the next picture, this one, it kind of looks like a big line or a wall. So this is when the quarterback goes to pass a play. And so what us offensive line have to do is we have to create this flexi wall so that there's like a pocket created around the quarterback. And so not one person could get through that wall, but you can't make a wall on your own. I can't block three defenders on my own. I have to do it with my other teammates. You see, no matter what season we're in, you can't do it on your own. You see, if you're in a hard season, the enemy likes to make you feel isolated and that you're the only one this is happening to. And no one else has ever felt this way. And you need someone to remind you that you can get through the other side. And sometimes, if you're in that great season, that summer season of your life, this is the time to get along someone else and share your testimony that God does come through. He does pour out the blessing and He does just fight for us so we don't have to do it on our own. So as I get ready to close this morning, I challenge you to do one of these three things so you can fight for joy in your life. Sometimes when we're going through this, doing all of these things at once is a very stark contrast to maybe the habits we've already formed in our life. Maybe you're someone here who doesn't yet know Jesus and doesn't know the Lord of their life, the true Lord of their life. And maybe your next step is to make that decision today. Maybe you know that you haven't always had that attitude of gratitude, that you can grumble and the hard times sneak up and they're the ones who are steering your emotions. Maybe your decision today is just to start somewhere. Start today by making this first day habit that you're going to be thankful for what God has given you and the season He does have you in this moment. And maybe you're in that last category. Maybe you need to find someone to partner with and share this season you're in, whether it's a good one or a difficult one. Find someone, share your life. This is what church is all about this morning. So church, thank you so much for letting me share with you. And will you please put your hands together as we are going to have Reese join us on stage. There you go, bud. Well done.
Oh, they were so good. Eh? Give another round of applause for Katie Calloway. I ate up everything she said. I'm like, gratitude, man. Honestly, that was so cool. That was awesome. Well, hi, guys. I'm Reese. I'm the second one. So I'm like that kind of meat in the middle. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. All right, we've got... So what I'm ultimately preaching on today is killing time, which is sort of like... my timing in God's calling on your life. You know, God has such an awesome time where He's just going to call you. And it's ultimately about us responding. So it's going to be awesome. So can we go to Romans 13, 11? This is all... okay, is everyone there? If you're going to Revelation, you're just going way too far. You're going way too far. So this is all the more urgent for you. Know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Ultimately, guys, we are running out of time. You know, we don't hear that a lot. We are. And the thing is, we don't want to miss out on what God wants for us and in our lives. You know, I was reading up and I was just like, the story of the fisherman, man, which was pretty cool. Simon, which was Peter and Andrew, his brother, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. You know, they didn't go like, "Yo, there's Jesus. Yo, dude, I got a gig in Northbridge. I got to do like, yo, dude." You know, Peter wasn't like, "Hey, bro, I got the missus, you know, at home, bro. She's, you know, give me a text." No. They immediately responded. Immediately. You know, me and Danny, I know some of you guys are thinking to yourselves, obviously we're from, you know, Wellard campus. Some of you guys are like, "Who the heck is that?" But there was a point in time where we got into youth, and I'll never forget it, because I was doing FIFO at the time, right? And Danny gives me a call, and she's like, "Hey, I'm just helping out at youth at church." I'm like, "That's awesome." She's like, "Yeah, you should help as well." I was just like, "All right." And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to get to youth. I'm just going to, like, you know, pack boxes, you know, Jared and them were there at the time. You know, give Jared, like, "Yeah, good job, buddy. Good job." But it's amazing how God can integrate you into that time. You know, I think about it now, and we're actually leading our own youth group. I know to some of you that's really small, but for us, where we came from is so huge, so huge. And from the packing boxes, now it's leading it. It's awesome. So I'm really, really ecstatic about that. So I've got a couple of slides for you guys. As in your time of where God can call you, there might be little stages where you're at. So can we have slide one, please? Next slide. This is some of us. This is some of us when we're waking up. We just want to kill that clock, eh? That clock, all the time. But as you guys can see, you can hear the call sometimes, but choose not to respond. And more pushing it away and destroying that call. You know? You know, me, myself, I'm born into a Christian family, and the call was with me for a while. God called me many times, and I never responded. I didn't. And so I was definitely slide one, obviously with more hair, but yeah, that was me. Slide two. Another one. Yep. So you're looking at it, but it's like you're waiting for more. It's like you're undecided of where you're going to be. Like you're wanting God to do, I don't know, lay it on your lap and find out that, no, that's my call. We have to actually seek it. We have to actually look at it and go after it. Slide three. This is awesome. I want to say for all the married people here, this is the best one. This is the best one. I usually play the girl on top there, and Danny is usually the one on the bottom. She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But in this slide, you can have the pressure of somebody else, not from God. And God ultimately, them acting like God and actually putting that pressure on you to sort of be involved. And at that point, you're not ready. Slide four. All right, this is obviously, you can see what's going on here. Some of you guys are like this. I know. I've spoken to many of you. And some of you guys wake up exactly like this. I think that's awesome. If you guys wake up like that, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, a gold star all around, primary school style, man. Yeah. And you're ultimately ready to follow his call. You know, how awesome is it for like Hannah, like kids like Hannah and Shekinah and getting involved? That is so awesome. I look at it like slide four. You guys are volunteering. You're getting involved, getting stuck in for what God really wants from you. You know, ever since me and Danny are in leadership, we've been refined, man. I tell you something, I don't learn a lot of things, but man, it was really refining. I went to NZ recently. My best friend's known me ever since I was 13. He comes up and he's just like, dude, you're so much more like a people's person now. What's going on, man? I'm like, dude, this is the leadership ministry and God in my life, man. That dude, I'll go to Sheila. I went to Sheila's place and, you know, we had a little bit of a hiccup at youth that we needed to seek advice on. And Sheila was just like, my goodness, you guys have grown so much since when you guys first got involved in Wellard. And I'm thinking to myself, my first thought was like, I'm 5'10". Like, I haven't, like I'm still 5'10". And that's what's awesome about it, is just that the fact that we haven't grown in the fact that we've grown physically, but we've grown spiritually. We've grown within ourselves. And that's what's awesome about God's calling in our lives. Trusting the fellowship. I think that fellowship is so underrated. I think that all you guys are awesome. There is so many people here that are just amazing. And the fact that we need them to sometimes direct our lives. Because honestly, God uses these people. I'm gonna name drop right now. I'm not supposed to, but like Ben Orr, that dude is awesome. Another awesome dude. Like, you know what I mean? Pastor Charlie, awesome. I'm just gonna put like awesome stamps on all these people. Deb Baker, awesome, amazing. Margie, where's Margie? Margie, awesome. And these are the people that will ultimately direct you. These are the people, these are one of them that will ultimately direct you in your walk as well. And coming in my closing, in God's timing is going to do amazing things in your life, but we've got to seek him. We've got to seek him. And I challenge you guys today that we've got to start recognizing that, you know, we could be slide one, we could be slide two, we could be slide three or four, but it's ultimately coming into recognizing God's call in our lives. And now with the next person I'm going to invite, which is Barry Bernard. This man is an awesome, anointed brother of mine from another mother. But let's give it up for Barry, guys. I get hugs.
All day, bro. Wow. A tough act to follow. Definitely some meat in that. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Katie, Reese. Such encouraging messages. And thank you to all of you church members for listening to us today. We are the young and up and coming, but a lot of you have so much more wisdom from life, and we just feel it's such an opportunity and such a privilege that we can share something with you. Just like to thank you guys on behalf of the three of us for giving us this stage, so to speak. So I've got quite a few things I'd like to jump through. So let's just jump right into it, I guess, fighting time and all that, Reese. So I'm going to talk about fighting for those who can't fight for themselves. Now, there are many people in this world who, for whatever reason, can't speak up for themselves. They feel helpless, and they seem to be in a hopeless situation. And I just want to encourage you today, I'm going to talk about justice, righteousness, and what it looks like to help other people. So I'm going to jump right into Proverbs 31, verse 8 to 9. And I'm reading from the easy-to-read version because sometimes I find that the Bible has a habit of making things not so easy to read. So it goes like this. Speak up for people who cannot speak for themselves. Help people who are in trouble. Pretty straightforward, right? Stand up for what you know is right and judge all people fairly. Protect the rights of the poor and those who need help. In light of this verse, I'm just going to give you a short story of my own experience of some personal injustice. When I was in my second to last year at high school, I had the honor of playing for my first team rugby team. And although this was an honor, I did not know that with that honor comes an initiation ceremony. And if I can get the photo up, that would be great. So, I'll take you through what happened. Basically, we were told we had to be outside the prefect study at a certain time, and we had to remove our shirts, and they led us into this room, and they held us down and brought out all sorts of implements to beat us with, including rugby boots that had all these sharp spikes, and went to town on our backs, basically. Then they said, all right, in a couple of seconds, we're going to let you go, and you've got to get out as quickly as possible because we're going to form a line and beat you and kick you all the way out of this place. And then you'll be one of us. You'll be our brother. It'll be all good. So by this time, with all the noise and commotion going on, there'd been quite a crowd form outside. And as each of us was running out, everyone was giving a cheer. And so not the best day of my life. But I'm going to come back to this story. I just want to jump into God's word again. So then I'll come back to let you know what happened. So in Isaiah 1, verse 17 in the New King James, it reads, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow." I'm going to give you a couple of take-home points, and my first is do good out of that verse there. So what does do good look like? Now, I think there's two major things that we can use to figure out what doing good looks like, especially in a society today where morals are so relative and it changes from time to time what's good and what's not. But I think all of you can agree when that photo went up earlier, something inside you said, that's not right. There's something wrong there. And that's our conscience. And God's given each of us a conscience to know what does good ultimately look like. lot of times you even know when you're doing something wrong. The second one is that I want to highlight is scripture. And I don't have time to get into it, but if you have time afterwards, you can jump into Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10. And in there, it speaks about not being selfish, about looking out for the needs of others, and also not growing weary in doing good. My next point is that we all need to seek justice. Now, justice is a big word, and righteousness and all these words, bit of Christianese, sometimes we don't understand it, but Jeremiah 22 verse 3 has a nice definition of what justice is. Now, this is what the Eternal, that's God, has to say. Do what is just and right. Rescue those poor ones being robbed by the extortionists. Protect the outsiders, orphans, and widows in your land from any oppression, for they have no one. Stop the violence and the shedding of innocent blood in this place. It's quite straightforward, and I know my message is a little bit of a downer, so I just want to take this point here to encourage everyone. Like, as a church, we are already doing so much to seek the good and justice for others. I mean, with things like Port Care, I mean, and the lunch, we are providing a home, we're providing a family for people who don't know where they fit in, for people who are lonely, who are broken, and that's a justice there. That's doing good. And I also want to encourage you with the generous hearts that you guys give into the Leap into Spring and the missions portfolio. Man, we helping to alleviate poverty and suffering in some really unjust, unrighteous societies. And I just want to like give yourselves a pat on the back because, man, as a church, we're doing an awesome job in seeking the justice for others. But I reckon we can do more because my final point is this, that Christ is our ultimate example. Christ is the ultimate. Jesus lived the perfect life. He was sinless, but he upheld all God's laws. He showed justice to the needy. He protected people from oppression. I mean, for example, there was that woman who she was caught in adultery, and rightfully the law at the time was that she would be stoned. But Jesus stepped in and he stopped the violence. He was the only one who actually could rightfully accuse her and condemn her and throw the stones. But he didn't do that. He stood up for her. And I'm just going to come back to my rugby initiation story and tell you about a man who he did what Jesus would have done in that situation. So as I was running outside, for some reason, my good friend Jonathan, who he was not a rugby player, he was standing there with his shirt off and he had seen all these things happening around him. And he felt so moved as a Christian, and he saw this injustice, and he didn't know what to do. And the more he spoke, the more he wasn't taken seriously. So he took his shirt off and went to the leader who was in charge of all of this beatings. And he just said, "These guys don't deserve this. This needs to stop." And he was like, "Take me, like beat me. Don't beat them." And they just laughed him off and fobbed him off and were like, "Get out of here, mate. You didn't go through the honor of rugby, playing for the rugby team. So you don't get the honor of initiation." So that's the thing, though, is that became a talking point. And we were in our second to last year, and Jonathan was as well. And when we then transitioned into our final year, and we were all now part of the rugby team and whatnot, we remembered what Jonathan had done, how he'd stood up for us or tried to. And we wanted to then, that motivated us to make a positive change. We made a stand, we made a decree that the initiations would stop from that point onward, that the next year of boys would not have to go through what we went through. And because of that, the school and that community was better for it going forward. And we made just a small difference in one small area, but I still reckon that that's a start. And in the same way, because of Jesus, none of us has to suffer the consequences of sin, which the Bible says is death. We all have a hope, and we all free to be made right with God. I want to leave you with this final scripture, Romans 10, verse 4. "So for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all," that's non-inclusive, that's everybody, non-exclusive, "all who believe in him are made right with God. Jesus rescued us. He stood up for us. He showed us the perfect example of when we were absolutely helpless and couldn't find a way out of our sin and we had no hope. He fought for those who could not fight for themselves. He fought for us. And I just want to encourage you, church, we can do so much more with the injustice and the bad that's around us in this world. We can see it because we have our conscience and scripture to measure it, and we can make a change for the better. I just want to encourage you to be more like Jesus. Fight for those who can't fight for themselves.